And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar, Joe Rex Road will be along here shortly here on the program. We got a lot going on today here on the program. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We will get into all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that discussion with Charles coming up a little bit later in the program. Taking your thoughts all program along, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? What are we doing? How's life on this Thursday morning?
Yeah, hanging in there, man. Hanging in there.
That's
How are
good.
you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad that you're hanging in there. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing great. Happy game day. Preseason. Again.
Oh,
tonight.
Yes, more preseason football tonight. And then we've got preseason football tomorrow night. And then Saturday. We got all kinds of football going on this weekend. It feels like we've arrived, and then you'll watch the preseason football, and you're like, oh, we still got quite a bit of ways to go here. But Sunday, too. I mean, this is
I was going to say,
four
we probably have a
straight
Sunday
days,
game, right?
baby. We got two games on Sunday. We got Dolphins-Bears Sunday, and then Saints-Chargers. So we got, I mean, four straight days of preseason football here.
So football's
no
on the TV now until the end of Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've made it.
We made it.
Yeah. Sort of. Interesting that there's no Monday Night Football.
That's true.
When
but
do they
you know
start
what?
that? I thought, I mean, that's a preseason thing, right?
Apparently next week. Next week, the Bengals and Commanders will be on Monday Night Football. So just
Okay.
Gotta wait another week for Monday Night Football.
Okay.
So.
And it'll again sound like real football, look like real football on the fringes, and then catch it early. But again, maybe this year we're going to see more of these coaches play more of their players that we actually want to watch.
Maybe so. And you know, the Colts and the Ravens playing tonight, so you can watch I guess Anthony Richardson throw that ball around a little bit tonight if you want to. Joe, if you really want to be crazy, you could stay up until 9 o'clock tonight and watch the Raiders and the Seahawks and see if, you know, Dante Thornton gets out there and is a preseason stud and has like 10 catches for 145 yards and two touchdowns tonight. May have to do it.
Tell you what, that Dante Thornton is a camp a story, you know, which is one of those things that you're just like, man, what could have been with that guy at Tennessee?
So Pete
like
Carroll's
he could,
going
like
up
he,
against
I
his
think he's
former
gonna
team
play.
already, huh?
Yeah, a big. I mean, could be just a
Grudge
big
match.
ceremony tonight. I mean, who knows? This could be an all-out war
this could be
tonight
a
between the Raiders and the Seahawks.
Jeff Fisher fake punt situation here for Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Pour it on late and just like pull out some random trick play no one's expecting.
I mean, now that we're talking about it, I'm really upset this game's starting at 9 o'clock tonight. This could be an actual preseason game worth watching.
You won't. You wouldn't either way, but yes.
No, I wouldn't.
It's
but
exciting.
it could be. It could be a game worth watching. Speaking of camp storylines, Joe, you know, I'm scrolling through social media yesterday, and you know, there's joint practices that are already going on. Titans start theirs today against Tampa Bay. But, you know, it's like the Patriots and the Commanders. And it's like, all right, there's some, you know, interesting tweets coming out, interesting plays coming out between the Patriots and Commanders. And then all of a sudden, there's a fight. And it's like, oh, there's a fight that's broken out between the Patriots and Commanders. And, you know, oh, it looks like Vrabel is right in the middle of it. Vrabel is dove in to the fight and has emerged from the pile with a bloody cheek. He's got blood rolling down his cheek. He's come out of the pile. He's broken up the fight. And now he's got a towel pressed up against his cheek, walking down the sideline at practice between the Patriots and the Commanders. And now, you know, you looked on ESPN.com last night, Joe, looked everywhere, and that was like one of the top headlines of the day in the NFL. Is Vrabel bloodied up, getting himself into a fight out there at Patriots Commanders practice. And I was like, some things never change, my man. Vrabel's not afraid to dive in there.
Does he think he's like Bruce Willis in a Die Hard movie? Like, does he think these people are about to die or something?
I don't know.
Break up the fight. You don't have to dive in and act like you're a freaking action hero. Wait, what are we doing here? Again, I
mean,
got to see the video of this. It
he's
must
going
have
to
been,
be
I mean, it
50 in
better
a
be
week.
seriously. People better have machetes out if you're going to dive in and like try to save someone's life. Like, well, come on.
He's going to be 50 years old next week. It's like, it's also like, hey, man, like, you can't just be diving in front of NFL players the way you used to, man. You're going to get yourself killed. Like, he was on Bussin' with the Boys for like the third time, I guess, this past week. And he was talking about doing this drill with Will Campbell, their high draft pick offensive lineman. And I guess he didn't get his feet set right. And Will Campbell just knocked him right on his back. And it's like,
No.
hey, man, you're 50 years old. He's like, you know, apparently Will Campbell's got that saved on his phone, which is absolutely hilarious. But, you know, Brable going to be 50 next week. He can't just be diving in piles. He's getting bloodied up now.
I mean, it's like some people like do like Marines level training or hang gliding or whatever, like the thrill seeking, like so Vrabel's got, he can, NFL players can kick the crap out of him right now. So he's got that for free with his job, and when he's done, yeah, he's going to do stuff like that. He's going to like live dangerously, skydive, whatever, just to get the adrenaline pumping, man. I don't know. But, yeah, like, have we heard from Vrabel? Has he said anything since this?
I don't know. I did not catch any of his bloodied up cheek press conference yesterday. So I don't know. I didn't see it.
So it must, they must be doing, I mean, I'm sure there'd be something, right? Although I guess I could also see him being so boring after that nothing ever got shared, but they're probably doing the presses beforehand. So maybe today we'll get Vrabel to, to explain himself.
Maybe
Why
so.
did you actually throw yourself into the middle of that?
It was also just so
Grab
funny. Like,
someone.
I saw that, and first off, it's blown up into this huge story around the league. And secondly, it was like I saw a bunch of Patriots fans that were like, "This is what I'm talking about. Our
Yeah.
culture is back. Our head coach is diving into the fight. He's bringing people into the fight with him. We're gonna go to the Super Bowl this year." And it's like, all right, we'll see.
Their culture is back. So Belichick did stuff like this?
I don't recall Bill Belichick diving into a
Belichick
fight.
dove into a playground and played ring around the posy. I mean, this is not their culture being back. Our
So you're,
culture's back, like when we had Aaron Hernandez on the team. All right, I
yeah.
stopped ripping the Patriots.
Congratulations to Vrabel for getting in there yesterday. Joe, yesterday was perhaps, and this is fully aware of, you know, me being fully aware that there's a game coming up this weekend where this could really take off to a different level. But yesterday was, I think, Joe Milton at training camp full blast for Cowboys fans, because there's a clip that came out where he
Yeah.
just rolls back, and I mean, he throws an absolute moonshot down the field for a touchdown, and I couldn't help myself. I watched it. It's an impressive throw, and then you look at the comments, and it's like Dak better just go ahead and start packing his bags. Like, he might as well not even show up to the first game of the year, because it's going to be Joe Milton's job at some point very quickly into the year. And it was hilarious watching some of these Cowboys fans' comments yesterday. But the throw, I will say, like, it was an
Oh, it's
absolute
absurd.
moon ball. And it's like, good God. Like, if he did that every time, you know, I saw some Tennessee fans comment on too. It's like, great, is he hitting the slant out there? That's what we
Yeah.
really like to see. But man, the hype is out of control down there with Joe Milton.
No, the throw was amazing. I mean, it was. It's like you watch it and you're like, how did someone even run that far in that amount of time to be, catch that? Like first of all, I'm impressed with the receiver to be able to catch up with that, but I mean, like, it's insane, the throw. So yeah, you knew you'd see some of that, and it's going to be really interesting to see if anyone like who actually like covers the Cowboys buys into this. You know what I mean? And again, I don't want to rip Joe. Like, again, Joe can get better. He can get better. I don't want to put a cap on him, but I highly doubt that he's going to be close to Dak Prescott's level as a quarterback this year. Yeah, or at any point, probably.
I
And
doubt
that.
it too, but man, this is, you know, we talked about this with Charles last week for like predictable Cowboy fan responses, and he
Oh
is not
yeah.
helping right now. Like, he is not helping Dak Prescott at all right now.
Yeah. So now it's like, I mean, first of all, that has been the word on him for years. If anyone actually paid attention, if you're a Cowboys fan who actually thinks I'd like Joe Milton to be my quarterback, you could read any number of a million stories about, right, about like the strengths and weaknesses. But then again, man, last year that one game, I was stunned at some of the stuff I saw from him.
Yeah,
albeit against backups, I was still like, "Geez, man, this looks pretty good." Like he comes out and like just cars people up and does things other than just throw 80-yard seeds. Well, the conversation will certainly be interesting down there.
615-737-1025, our phone number. K Dot in the YouTube chat talking about Vrabel says he threw himself into the fight because he loves ball. Yeah, he does. That Vrabel loves football, man. Vrabel yeah, loves ball.
Loves ball. I mean, does he love ball or does he love UFC? What does he love? He loves being battered any way he can find it.
I guess so.
Does he do like the Happy Gilmore, like go into the batting cage? It's like,
just let the ball hit him right in the chest. Hey, man. Got to do what you got to do. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Finally, a positive development for the offense yesterday for the Titans. We'll get into that, what it could mean heading into joint practices against Tampa Bay, all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
What will those practices look like, I guess, starting in Tampa? Mm-hmm. Not like these, but just working on separate fields, different units.
Yeah, it'll be just pretty similar to a practice here. You know, points of emphasis on a one-day practice with Tampa will be a little bit than a two-day practice with Atlanta. You get it. The 2 days give you some chances to break some things up, but you'll see all the major situations. You'll see some third down. You'll see red zone. You'll see 2 minute. All the stuff that we work here every day. It'll be good to go against somebody else.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday discussing the upcoming joint practice with Tampa Bay later today. Robbie and Rex are out here on 102.5 The Game, taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. We're going to get specifically into the joint practice with Tampa Bay coming up in the 7 o'clock hour and what we want to see from the Titans on that front. But, Joe, one thing that I think every Titans fan wanted to see was the offense show a pulse out there, and especially in the passing game, show that they've got a little bit of pushback in them. And apparently we saw that yesterday, Joe. I'll read Jim Wyatt's graph from TennesseeTitans.com. It says, quote, Ward was really good in 2 minute period at the end of practice, driving the offense 65 yards on 10 plays, capping it off with a 9 yard touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett. Ward went 8 of 10 on that drive, including throws to Chimere Dike, Calvin Ridley, and Lockett to cap it off. I had Ward going 13 of 15 in team period on the day and 2 of 4 and 7 on 7, making him 15 of 19 on the day. It was one of his more efficient days of camp. This is what Jim Wyatt had to say, who is tracking all this on the performance of Cam Ward yesterday. So, Joe, it feels like a pretty good day for Cam Ward and the offense yesterday. What do you make of the bounce back displayed from the Titans offense after they just got chewed out off the field the other day by their head coach?
Yeah, well, of course, this is what happens. Now, if it didn't happen at any point, then you start to be like, geez. Well, the 85 Bears must be on the other side of things. No, that's not what you'd be like. I'm going to read Kaharski's tweet from yesterday. He said, Cam Ward Wednesday, : one-on-ones, mid. Red zone, bad 7-on-7, better in team with a touchdown to Jefferson. 2 minute, good. Hashtag Titans.
What do you make of Kaharski trying to use the word mid?
Yes, now Kaharski is, hello, fellow kids. Yes, using mid. It's funny, too, because like my daughter said something about whatever at school was mid, and it's like, God, I can't get away from this word all of a sudden.
No, I smoke weed constantly.
So the Kaharski analysis is less gloomy. I think the consensus is that it was his best day. And you still have to, like, you're still comparing that against some bad days, but it's definitely good. I think it's a good development for him to have success. Look, the 2 minute, I mean, hey man, that's where the bread is buttered. We get it, you know, get it back into that Joe Montana debate. I mean, I'll tell you what, in the 2 minute, Joe Montana was freaking good, man. In those clutch moments, that's when you're, you know, that's when these quarterbacks really make their money, is being able to get those drives to win games. So you like the idea of Cam Ward having a good 2 minute. And just before Tampa, you know, Tampa Bay, the practice today, a little bit of positivity, probably good. Yeah, you know, like today I would probably expect some tough sledding against those guys. But getting a little bit of confidence before that is good. I'm sure Titans coaches want it. Again, with all this stuff, you can always think in terms of, you know, are you lightening things up a little bit to get that? But blitzing was going on by all accounts. You know, they were bringing pressures and stuff like that. So it's not like they were just like, hey, man, we need to give the kid a little punch in the shoulder here. I mean, he made some plays.
Well, we're also reaching the point of camp where, like, in the receiver room, you need to start to – it's time to go. Like, if you're – and I understand we haven't even got to the first preseason game yet. That's coming up on Saturday. And the preseason games themselves obviously are important for the bottom part of the receiving room. But I still think, like, what you do day-to-day in practice, what you do in some of these joint practices, like, it's – if you're a receiver fighting for a spot, it's time to go. And apparently Restrepo had a good day yesterday. He had a touchdown catch in the 2 minute and made a nice fingertip grab on a deep ball from Brandon Allen. So, like, that's a guy that needs to start making some plays pretty much on a daily basis in camp if he's going to have a shot here to make the team. And, yeah, the preseason games are going to be a part of that. But even in practice, like, it's time for him to start going with the opportunities that he gets out there. You know, you heard about, you know, Lockett making some plays in the 2 minute. That's good to see. But you know that Lockett's going to be on the team. But if you're one of these guys at the bottom, like, you know, Jaquan Jackson or Restrepo or one of those guys, like, it's time to go if you're one of those receivers fighting for a spot here.
Yeah, no question. And yeah, look, this is, joint practices elevates that for sure. Also, I mean, just, you know, you're gonna see some different guys. You have one on ones. It's just a little bit. You know, it can get nasty, right? It can get a little bit more than teammates competing with each other, and then of course the games too. As little as these games mean to the fan, totally understandably, guys. I mean, look, guys get themselves opportunities in those games or elevate their opportunities in those games. Again, like Khalif Raymond is, you know, one of the great examples to me of, like, diamond in the rough from the previous or, you know, two front offices ago or one and a half front offices ago, whatever.
Yep.
You know, just stuff he did in Giants preseason games, and it wasn't even that much stuff, but the Titans were drawn to that. So this is where guys like that, this is huge for them.
I think you hit on something earlier that's really important. Like, you know, at some point, you know, they're professional athletes, and we've talked about this before. If your team, and specifically your quarterback, like, if they're made of the right stuff, then I'm not overly worried about the confidence part of it. But I do think before you head down to Tampa Bay against, number one, a reasonably talented defense, and number two, a very aggressive defense. Like, we know Todd Bowles and what he does out there and how aggressive that defense is going to be. You know, we'll see how it goes today for the Titans, but there's a chance that it could be, you know, an overwhelming experience for a young quarterback. I do think it's important to get a little confidence going on the offensive side of the ball. And it looks like they were able to do that yesterday. We'll see how that translates to the actual joint practices coming up. And it's one day, so there's limitations to what it means. But at some point along the way here, like, you needed to see the offense respond. And I know they got a couple of days off after Brian Callahan, you know, was yelling at him the other day, but good to see them come out and respond yesterday. And it would be great, and we're going to get to this in the 7 o'clock hour, like, what I don't want to see today for the joint practices to Tampa Bay is for them to just get totally punked out there. Like, hold your own, make some plays out there in that joint practice, but good to see them have a little bit of confidence before stepping into that.
Yeah, I mean, confidence is a real thing. You have to have it. You have to have it. You don't, you know, it's not like it's something that you get later after you achieve things. You have to have it to achieve things. And there's a difference between individual and collective confidence too. And I just think, yeah, look, so much of this is timing, seeing the same thing, seeing the same coverages and knowing the same adjustments and seeing the protection. Okay, this is the protection that we need to have, you know, all that stuff. I mean, that's – so it's confidence in each other too. And when you fail as an offense, that stuff like that often is part of it. It's not just like you got beat or you made a bad pass. A lot of times it's the communication stuff and the timing stuff that is just off. So if this is an indication of growth there, yeah, I think you want to come away from this. And first of all, can you remember, I guess I can't remember a one day, one of these. It's kind of interesting. I know that they're doing another one next week. So it's kind of, but you know, a one day, one of these, and also 9 days on the road for this team, which I can never recall that happening for an NFL team in a preseason. Kind of an interesting dynamic there. Maybe that'll be good.
I kind of like it.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that could be good. Texter's asking about 2 years ago when the Eagles starters played the whole preseason. They did not. But they might have played in every game. They didn't play the whole preseason, man.
No.
But to answer the question there, yeah, like we've been saying, I think the more the better for this offense. Like, I don't care about Jeff playing in the preseason. You know, some of the guys like that, a lot of the guys on D. Most of the offense, I'd play them a lot.
I am the exact same way, and I hope we see that coming up on Saturday. Mo is upset that Jelly Roll spoke to the Titans yesterday. Says, can somebody tell me why Jelly Roll is talking to the team? I would have liked to see a winning retired coach talking to the team. This is from Mo on the text line. Yeah, I did see the Jelly Roll video. Jelly Roll addressed the team. I think he did it last year as well. So if you're like, you know, if you're trying to change things up a little bit, if you're a Titans fan, maybe you're not excited about Jelly Roll speaking to the Titans, but he did speak, and it was nice to hear what he had to say. You can find pretty much the whole speech the Titans put out.
Yeah, don't mess with Jelly Roll. Come on, man. Jelly Roll should be allowed to talk to any group of people he wants to. Everybody loves Jelly Roll. I also got somebody saying Dan Campbell versus Vrabel to the death. That would be
quite a matchup.
That would be a hell of a matchup. And Dustin saying, I'm not ripping on Vrabel for breaking up a fight. I'm ripping on him for throwing himself into the middle of it. Again, I'm just reading the reports of this, okay? But like, just grab someone in the fight and then pull them out. Don't, there I go, and dive in like it's a bowl of cherries.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour. At 6:45, I saw something yesterday in college football that hype train is going. It's going to be out of control, and I can't wait for it. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Tune in later today to 94.9 The Fan. The Nashville Sounds taking on Jacksonville at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app. And at thegamenashville.com, Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I saw something yesterday, and it's just going to be out of control. So, you know, Steve Sarkisian was talking, and he was talking about how, you know, we were in the bubble today going through our walkthrough. And then all of a sudden I turn around and I'm walking out of the bubble and Arch has got the whole offense over there going through his own walkthrough. Like he's got his own walkthrough that he's organized over there. And that's just the way that he operates, to which every Texas fan in the replies was just like, oh my God, we've got Peyton Manning. Like Peyton, this is exactly what you expect from this kid. Peyton Manning, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be awesome. And I was thinking about this. It's a combination of things, Joe. Thank you. Thank you, Bev. A combination of things. Number one, we've talked about the hype around Arch specifically and why there's hype. And, you know, he's a pretty high-level recruit in addition to what his last name is and how much we're all looking forward to watching him play and all that. So, we've had kind of the most anticipated quarterback season since win discussion. But here's the other thing that I've been thinking about lately. It's going to get out of control one way or the other immediately because of who they play first, their first game. Like there's an article up at The Athletic that Stuart Mandel put out there of like, is this the greatest He did kind of a mailbag. He's like, is this the greatest week one ever in college football? And there's some pretty darn good games going up in week one when you really look at it. But obviously, Texas, Ohio State is going to headline it. And Texas is going on the road to Ohio State. So, Joe, like one of two things is very possible here. Either they go on the road and they beat Ohio State and he looks really good, to which most people are going to act like you can just basically hand him the Heisman Trophy after week one if he does that. Or number two, they don't play well and he doesn't look good and Ohio State dominates and they win. And all of a sudden Texas has a season opening loss to begin the year. He's going to get crushed. It's going to be like all the people are going to be talking about is like how overrated he is and how much the hype is not justified. Like it's going to get out of control immediately with Arch Manning with Texas and Ohio State.
Yeah, I suppose there's like he plays well, they lose a good game or whatever. I mean, there's a range there, but I'm with you. There, like the overreaction will be, I mean, it's first of all, again, it's already to me happening at an incredible level for a guy who's thrown 95 passes, and is a really talented player. I think. Like his parents have done a great job. His family's done a great job. Like he's, you know, like he actually doesn't do social media and all that. So that's great. You know, it's like as a parent, you're like, man, how did you figure that out? You know, wish I did that, you know? So it's like, I mean, I feel like a lot of people who pay attention will be rooting for him, but of course you're going to automatically have a legion of haters, right? But some of them just Texas haters. I mean, every Texas A&M fan hates Arch Manning. So yeah, like the discourse will be crazy either way. Does seem like he's someone who, as long as he can keep that up, can kind of isolate himself from that. I mean, he does have like so many famous people in his family who've been through this. Maybe not at the same time period. It is very different at this time period than anybody else. But like still, like you would think that'd be an advantage, but all of it is just, again, this idea that anybody knows he's going to be like a number one pick level. You just don't know that at all. You do not know that. And he may well not be, and he may be. So I'm in on every Arch Manning pass this year, 'cause I'm fascinated by it too. But also I'm with you. It's like, God, you're already bracing yourself for the overreactions, which will absolutely be either way, whatever way it goes.
Well, I'm trying to think if I can remember, and I'm not talking about hype, just like, oh, like, you know, by the time Tim Tebow was established, right? You know, Tim Tebow, his freshman year, came in and Chris Leak was the starting quarterback for Florida, but Tebow got some games, he got some packages out there, and he was a part of them doing what they did that year. And then, you know, by the time Tebow fully started for a year, you know, his third year, he's walking in there. Everybody knew what Tim Tebow was, and that he was a great college football player. So there was obviously a lot of hype for him coming into that year. But I'm talking about, like, guy that really hasn't done much yet. Like, very few meaningful snaps have been played by Arch Manning. I don't recall anything like this. Like, I don't recall anything like the – and I know it's his last name, and that's a big part of it. I don't know if there's really a comparable that in my lifetime I can remember from college football.
Yeah, like others with last names come to mind. I mean, there was a lot of like Eli at Ole Miss. Yeah. I mean, but it's not the same. I mean, Ole Miss was never great when he was there. Texas is number one, you know. Chris Sims was a guy, you know, a guy who, not with a last name, but it comes to mind in terms of just incredible hype and frankly, just not like Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor at Ohio State was he was the number one recruit, and it was Michigan, Ohio State all the way down to the very end. Rich Rod just lost out. Like what could have been Rich Rod? But, you know, then it's like a year of him kind of, I think it was behind Todd Beckman. So there are, but I'm trying to think in this era, which again, like the social media era. So really you're talking the last like 15 years, right? Basically. No one comes to mind. I'm sure someone on the text line will come up with somebody like, oh yeah, that's right. But I do think this is a different deal. But again, you have multiple generations of you know, highly successful quarterbacks.
Yeah.
This is the first, you know, basically the first family of football, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, for sure. And like, again, there have been some majorly hyped college football quarterbacks. Like, you know, Johnny Manziel goes on the road and beats Alabama and the way they close out that year. And then he comes back the next year.
He created that hype.
Right. He created it with his performance. Like, before even stepping into the starting quarterback role. Like, I don't think we've seen anything like this. And again, like, they're number one in the coaches poll. My guess is they're probably going to be number one in the AP poll as well. We'll see what happens on that front. And then you're immediately playing against Ohio State to start the year. So, I mean, we're going to find out right off the jump, and people are going to go crazy either way. But, like, this whole year, I am so fascinated to watch him play. I really am. And, you know, as somebody who, I mean, I don't really have a strong opinion on Texas either way. Like, I'm not one of those people that just absolutely hate Texas. Yeah, it does bother me when they start calling themselves UT when they're not a, you know, weren't a state when Tennessee was university, but that's a discussion for a different day. But like, Texas doesn't really bother me. Like, I don't hate them or love them or have a strong opinion, but I am like, I am all in on watching Arch Manning play this year.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know. Like, again, if you're affiliated, forget about it. You're a Texas fan or you're a Texan, obviously. But if you're just unaffiliated, are you rooting for Arch Manning to do well? I would also ask, and this is a topic I was thinking of maybe at some point, but Texas Tech, do people want Texas Tech to do well? Because like, it's really fascinating, like their whole story and what they've done. They've gone nuts paying players, and it's obviously they're not one of the blue bloods. They are not Texas, but they are outspending Texas. Do people want that to work, or do people want that them to fall on their face? I'm really interested in that one too.
I'm totally pulling for fall on their face on that one.
Are you?
Big time. Fall on their face. I hope they win four games.
Just because you don't want...
I don't want college football, and I understand some of this is just totally being naive on my part, but I don't want college football turning into, all right, well, let's just see who can spend the most money on their roster every single year, right? And I know there's always been money involved. I get it. And I know Ohio State just won a national championship with their $20 million roster or whatever it was last year. I understand all that. And money's going to be a big part of it. And by the way, just because Texas isn't spending as much as Texas Tech is, Texas is still spending an astronomical amount of money on their roster. So I understand all that. But I want some of these teams that have these really, really high-priced rosters to just absolutely fall on their face. So maybe we can stop some of this crap.
Yeah, I don't think it'll stop it, but
I don't think it will either.
This is a weird year because this is getting in before the settlement. Everybody's loading up too, right? So, you know what they need a cap because there's collective bargaining. But you know, we'll get to that at some point. Craig is asking about Pat White. I don't remember him being a huge recruit, but Pat White with Steve Slayton running that read option stuff for Rich Rod was like no one could deal with that. So that was more like hype earned on the field.
Slick from Adamsville says, just wait till Marshall starts for the Vols. Get Marshall Manning in there in a few years. He'll be ready to go. Peyton's son. It'll all be good at that point. There are some Tennessee fans that are absolutely already talking about that.
Marshall Manning sounds too much like Marshall Mathers to me.
I agree. And Marshall, I think Marshall Manning's like 13 or 14 years old, which is also, it's like, all right, let's give him a few years to see if he's, you know, actually going to play football.
Let the kid ride his bike to school, will you?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week now on Robbie and Rex Road
on ESPN
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Best thing, easily to me, is that the NCAA tournament officially will not expand next year. So doesn't mean we're out of the woods. I think it's going to be, unfortunately, an exhausting and constant conversation. These conference commissioners, Greg Sankey leading the way, are going to continue to try to force feed teams that are sub 500 in their league so they can load up the field with even more of these teams, even if the SEC got a million teams, and deservedly so, by the way, last year. It's ridiculous. It's an idea that needs to die. It hasn't died, but the fact that we did not get expansion, I think all the screaming about it has influenced those people, and they've backed away. And so we need to keep the pressure on them so they never do it. So that's the best thing. My worst thing is the Detroit Tigers. I've got a rant on this at some point coming about their GM, who's just like, oh, everything's fine. But they're 7-12 since the break. A 15.5 game lead is now 6. They are in the process of completely pooping their pants, and I am going to be an absolute insufferable jerk if this keeps happening.
It's not good. It's not good. Baseball season's a long season. There's a lot of time to make up ground, as we saw from them last year, and there's also a lot of time to just totally screw it up. We'll see what happens on that front. Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, I'll stick with baseball. I got a couple here. Best, Shohei Ohtani, 1,000 hits. He is now the fourth player in Major League Baseball history to have 1,000 hits and 600-plus pitching strikeouts.
It's pretty unbelievable.
And it hasn't happened since 1912.
Wow.
So, I don't know. Kid Gleason, he played in 1888.
Joe, you watched him play. Oh, yeah. How was that?
1888 to 1908, 1912. He's a little overrated. Yeah. Okay. Oh, maybe this guy spells it different. Dave Fouts.
Okay. Oh.
1800s. Late 1800s. Monty Ward, also late 1800s. Okay. So, I don't know, man. This Ohtani, pretty impressive. Also, I'll stick with the worst. Also, in baseball, though, what's up with your Rockies, Robbie? Giving up another milestone here. 63 hits in a three-game sweep versus the Blue Jays. The most since 1900. We're talking historical baseball stuff this week.
Wow. Ian's all over it. Ian's all over the baseball out there. Yeah, the Rockies are 30-84, Joe.
20-1 they lost last night.
They got a run differential of negative 316. Minus 316. And by the way, there's not a single other team in all of Major League Baseball that is even close to like minus 200. And they're at minus 316.
You know, I'd feel sorry for them, but I know that some of their fans are the same people who used to cheer for Patty Roy and Claude Lemieux and all those losers. Yeah. So I'm happy about it.
Well, you know, I've been in Denver. I don't know that there are Rockies fans. I just don't know that. I think there's, I mean, it's like actually not a bad looking ballpark. It's like, wow, cool looking ballpark. And there's some cool places around it. And you're like, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody ever actually talk about the Colorado Rockies in person.
Yeah. So, It's pretty rough, man.
I think there's probably more Colorado Rockies discussion on this program than there is in Denver. So we'll see if they can pull themselves out of it at any point. But I just saw that minus 316. Can you imagine being a fan of that team when they've got a run differential of minus 316?
That is truly amazing. What it a really number.
It is absolutely incredible out there. My worst thing in sports, just the Micah Parsons situation, not necessarily because, you know, I still think it'll probably, and I emphasize probably, get worked out at some point here. But it is amazing to me how the Cowboys, who are one of the most recognizable brands in all of sports, who have, you know, all this money, they're valued out the wazoo with the money they've got. Like, it's pretty amazing to me that Jerry Jones, like, is not better at contract negotiations than he is. Like, it's, you know, like we've talked about him waiting to the last minute where the price goes up all the time on a lot of these guys. And it just feels like every one of his players gets through a discussion with him about a contract and then ultimately ends up just absolutely hating him on the other side of it. And I understand it's a business and there's some personal things that get in the way of that. And you got to overcome that if you're a player. But man, like, it would be nice to like just have a simple negotiation at some point if you're them, right? I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, wouldn't it be like, hey, can you just sign one of these guys one time without it being all dramatic? Like, can we just get a deal done? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you have to just assume he feeds off this. You know? He's like the Emperor in Star Wars, feeding off your hatred.
Yeah, I mean, it must be exactly what it is. My best thing in sports, believe it or not, Joe, I'm actually excited about preseason football this weekend. There's like three games I've picked out that I'm lined up to watch. I mean, obviously the Titans are one of them. I'm going to watch the Packers, so that's another one. But I'm all in on Joe Milton out there. I'm all in on Shedeur Sanders. I'm going to watch Shedeur Sanders play this weekend as well. I'm looking around. I mean, you've got the Vikings out there. J.J. McCarthy looks like he's going to play a little bit, so I'm excited to watch that. Like, there's some actually, as far as preseason football is concerned, and maybe I get tired of it, within 7 minutes once it actually starts this weekend, but there are some pretty intriguing storylines heading into an NFL preseason weekend for once that I'm very excited about.
No, that's the thing. Young quarterbacks or, quarterbacks who have changed locales who are going to actually play, that's the only hope, right? I mean, that's the only hope for interest. Again, unless you're a huge fan of a team and you actually care who, like, the sixth receiver is or the fourth offensive guard, stuff like that. But the quarterback stuff, I'm with you. I'm gonna check out the same games.
I'm looking forward to it. Got a vote from Austin from Columbia. It says the worst thing is no Mike Keith with the Titans. Best thing is Mike Keith with the Vols. I saw a video yesterday, Joe, of Mike Keith cutting some promos for Tennessee and Syracuse coming up. So we're right around the corner from Mike Keith making his Tennessee debut.
Yep, it's going to be weird, but awesome for Tennessee. And yeah, I mean, it's just such a loss for the Titans, organization. So I think that's a great best worst. Joey from Bellevue talking about things that people are throwing at WNBA games. That's a good worst.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
That's very weird.
I might have to go best just what Slick just if Marshall Mathers goes to Tennessee, he can be the orange M&M. I'm going to give
Marshall
Slick
Manning. I don't think Marshall Mathers is going to
go. Did I actually just say Mathers?
You did. Good Lord.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Marshall
Ball
Manning
for life,
goes
M&M.
Marshall Mathers is a Michigan State dad like me.
Yes.
Marshall Manning, the orange M&M. Like, yeah. That's freaking amazing.
That's pretty good. I like that. Gover says he went to a Rockies game in Denver when he saw the Dave Matthews Band at Red Rocks back in 2005. It's a solid park. So we do have somebody listening that's been to a Colorado Rockies game.
That's an amazing humble brag, Gover. I'm so jealous of you and hate you that you've seen Dave Matthews at Red Rocks. But I still love you.
Only time I've been to Red Rocks was there's this weird workout class going on where this dude was like basically army crawling down the steps the whole way. And I was like, all right, man, you have fun with that. I'm going to walk over here. See ya. Really good stuff. Very, very picturesque park, though. Red Rocks is very nice.
Yeah, it's on the bucket list, man. The bucket's nearing, and yet it's on that bucket list.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joint practice coming up today between the Titans and the Buccaneers. What do we want to see from the Titans, and how big of a deal is it if they get totally punked out there? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.